We're doing the Ramban, Torat Hashem Tmima. We're up to page Chafchet. And the Ramban had explained that the philosophers describe a world where there is a system. And that system is a constant, to the point where if one would want to make a fly have a wing that's slightly longer than the flies usually have, or to shorten the leg of an ant, then you couldn't do that because there's a system. It has to work with the system. And when we see miracles, we say that right away contradicts the overall philosophy because it shows that nature can change in a flash. And that's why he said, when you see a miracle, so it contradicts the philosopher's approach. And then you say, okay, so if that's not the approach, then I can go back to our tradition that there's a moment of creation, that the world isn't a constant, the world was not always the way it is now. Umikan tireh, and here says the Ramban, you can see, achzariyot rosh hafilosofim, the cruelty of the head philosopher. He's talking about Aristotle. Rambam says, I agree with Aristotle. There are only three differences between me and Aristotle. So those three differences are differences that make the Rambam and Aristotle the world apart. But Ramban is taking a very tough stance against Aristotle. V'koshio yimach shmo. You see how stubborn he is. May his name be erased. Shu makhish kama dvarim sheru rabim. Because he's denying things that the masses attest to. And we recognize, we know that our tradition is true. And you don't only need to go by us, you could go by what's well known in the world, that the world knows certain things happen. We saw earlier Ramban quoted from the Egyptian history books, where they discuss Avraham Avinu. And there's a responsa. We have... Ramban had a student named the Rashba, who took over after him in Spain. So, within the responsa of the Rashba, we have a volume where it's called the responsa of the Rashba, but we attribute it to the Ramban. We say, yes, it's printed in the Rashba's responsa, but really, this is responsa of his Rebbe, Nachmanides, the Ramban. So over there, it says the following. Shamati beveiru, I've heard clearly, Sheminhag Almaniu, the custom of those out in some country in Germany area, Lasok bedivrei hashedim umashbim otam, meshalchim otam, meshtamshim mehem bekama inyanim. I hear that they use demons, that they're witches or warlocks over there, and they use these spirits all the time. And over there in that responsa, he quotes numerous passages in Shas, in the words of our sages, that discuss spirits and the fact that they're here. They're accessible. The Torah says don't utilize them. But Ramban always goes with this approach, that yes, there are forces out there that can be tapped into. Very different than Maimonides' approach that says it's all nonsense, or Maimonides says most of it is nonsense. Nachmanides says there are forces out there that can be tapped into, and he's going to develop that as we go on. And part of what he says over there is we can't deny things that the masses have testified to. So here in Machon Meir, when we started discussing this 2-3 weeks ago, so many students came to me and told me that they personally had stories of different things that there was no other way to explain it other than a demon or a spirit. Now, every year I have one or two students who comes tells me that. Here, this year, we have maybe a million of students that came. So some of the stories you can argue about. Other stories are more difficult to argue with. But I don't know if they want to go on record. Maybe we should ask them.
Are there things that are like you would classify as miracle, as like beyond science, or just, you know, that's where it gets so tricky. Like, it's interesting because, you know, Rambam, was a big fan of Aristotle.
Right.
Even though they had some differences, obviously,
right,
too. And there's huge time differences. You know, I wonder if Aristotle would be Aristotle if he was around when Rambam was around, necessarily. But, you know, it's, and you said they call it philosophy, but today we call it, I think, science is a big challenge to faith, although there's certainly religious, thank God, scientists, but seem to be more the minority, you know, sure. But, you know, it can be reconciled, but it's interesting. But when you say demons and spirits, does that mean there are forces in the world? Hey, that's not so strange. But is there, you know, I was attacked by a devil around the corner and, you know, it was a physical being.
That's what people have told me. Until this year, I heard other stories. This year, people told me stories that beat every story I've heard previous years.
I mean, you know, I think Rob Lichtenstein said, so they don't bother me, I don't bother them. You know, with it. But, you know, I mean, you could, but if it's something that's, I wonder what the, I mean, you say the Talmud does talk about it, so, but how, when they talk about it, what's the it? Is it, you know, the way, you know, like when you say, people say, how millions of people believe that they were told that you should walk on water or something. You know, I mean, that doesn't mean that they saw it. It's like hundreds of thousands at the same time say they saw it or anything.
Yeah, so, but there have been too many stories in the last month and even in the last 2 years where people, one person told me that they lived in a house. I don't know if I'm free to quote the stories. I'm not. I have to ask them if they're comfortable quoting the stories. But you hear so many stories, you start saying, look, stories from all over the world, you know. If I hear stories from my Yemenite neighbor about, I heard a story from Rabbi Pesin's almana, that her father was once giving class, and a dead man walked into class. And they stopped class, and he said, what are you doing here? And they went to the back and had a conversation. Now, again, when I heard only that story, so I said, okay. But when I hear more and more and more, so it reaches a point where you say, I don't know.
I've heard, I just don't know what kind of credence that you can give. You just say, since there's sources that things like that are happening, but there's also so many people who use these things, so charlatans.
Right.
The problem. So, you know, to say that, you know, like I heard a story that the Hazanish was in an exorcism of a dead book or something. I don't know if it's true.
Right. I don't buy any of those stories.
Right.
But again, when I hear so many stories from so many different places in the world, so I take a step back and say, I have no idea.
Right.
You know, when my kids told me there were ghosts in the house, I said, the next time you see them, call me. I want to see them. That's the approach even based on the Shulchan Aruch. But I can't deny so many people. And stories that are like...
people that are trustworthy people. That
again, I'm saying right.
Yeah, okay.
I'm talking about your classmates. I'm talking about this year. I got five people telling me they had personal encounters. What am I supposed to say?
They're on a higher level than me. Okay.
What can I say? Back to Ramban. ובאותן הזמנים הקדמונים, כגון ימים שמשה רבנו עליו השלום, היו נודעים לכל. If you go back in history, there were times where everyone knew about the miracles of the Jewish people. There was no one who argued with it. כי החכמים באותן הימים היו כולן רוחניות, כגון ענייני השדים, המחשבים, ומיני הכתרות למלאכת השמיים. I'm not sure. He says, in ancient times, they had these wisdoms, knowing how to access the different spirits that exist, and knowing how to offer different sacrifices to the forces of heaven. לפי שמחמת קרבתם לבריאת העולם על המבול, לא היה שום אדם כופר בחידוש העולם, even though these things existed, things were so recent. Everyone knew there was a moment of creation. Everyone knew there was a flood. No one denied that. Part of what Ramban is developing is the idea that until Aristotle, there wasn't really anyone who denied creation. Meaning Aristotle came and philosophically decided there was no moment of creation. And at that point, you started having people in the world that said, hey, there was no moment of creation. Ramban says, this is why Ramban calls him Yimach Shemo. He says, his name should be eradicated. He wishes Aristotle, he should be erased from the face of the earth and any memory of him should be erased. What Ramban is developing is, he's saying, recognize where the world was until Aristotle and recognize where the world's gone because of Aristotle. He says, if you go back in history, no one denied there was creation. It was a known fact in the world. Ramban says there was no one who denied creation. No one denied that Hashem had created the world, had made a flood, etc. So why were they worshipping and serving idols? They were trying to derive the benefits. They said, if I worship the different forces, I'll get benefits from it. They said, if I make the different shapes, I can tap into the forces from above. כי אפילו בין הפילוסופים כתוב בספר הטל סמאס, this is a book that Rambam also quotes, this is a book that describes how to make different shapes that can tap into different forces. שם ואין בצורות רוח ודיבור. The Kuzri also discusses this book, this was some kind of book which people used for sorcery, and they tapped into the forces of the zodiac and the stars using this book. Whether it was real or not is a good question. Rambam seems to say it is real, by the way. The Rambam in his commentary does address this book as a book that has validity.
But yet these same people believed in Hashem. They believed.
Right, okay, that's Ramban's point.
Yeah.
That these people believed in Hashem, but they said using these shapes you could tap into forces in the world. And then along came the Greek Empire, an empire that did not have a heritage. They did not have a tradition. Kasher Bir Bal Sifra Kuzar, as the Kuzari explains, that the reason that philosophy began with the Greeks was because the Greeks started without a heritage. So they said, okay, let's try to figure out how the world works. They started from scratch, so they came up with all kinds of inventions. And then Kamaisha Yadua, so from that approach came the known man. He doesn't even want to call him by name, Aristotle. And he said, I don't believe anything I can't sense. And so he denied any spirituality. He said, I just want to see what I can sense. And then he declared that all this concept of demons and sorcery, it's all nonsense. Then ba'olam pula rak lativim, and he said the only thing that exists in this world is what we know in nature. Davar yadu mfusam sheinochen, and he says it's well known that's not true, that there are things that affect us that cannot be defined by the laws of nature. And if we want an example for that today, so an example for that would be homeopathic medicine, where they take things and they dilute them beyond Avogadro's principle. They dilute them to the point where there's no molecular representation for the thing that they claim is what's affecting the person. And many, many people will tell you that it works. So what are you going to say? I had a challenge. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that it's nonsense. Yet I grew up on it, and I certainly thought it worked. When we were sick, my mother would give us homeopathic remedies, and they seemed to work. My experience as a kid. So not only as a kid, I also had one of my kids that had a rash that didn't go away, and all the things the doctors gave, nothing worked. And we tried a homeopathic cream, and within a day it was clear. after weeks that we couldn't get it clear. So what are you going to say? It wasn't a cream. It was drops. It was drops. It was drops. It was something that you just put under his tongue. And he, I think. I don't remember, but I think so. So it's hard to say. I'm saying again, scientifically, it doesn't exist. You're doing something that doesn't work, but what can you say? So it's a hard call.
But say that the psychological says something. And
yeah, but I didn't believe in it. I used to make fun of it when my mother would give it to me.
Lots of people who have religions that we'll laugh at and things that will swear that it works.
So Ramban says it does.
Right.
Ramban says it does.
The Greek thing disturbs me because the Greek thing is based on, as we say, we have our history, right, with the son of Shechem. Yeah, he knew there was a flood. He's the founder of that nation. It must have been lost at some point.
Right.
The Torah holds Greek and the Greeks in a certain regard of sophistication that we don't necessarily put some others, I think, right?
So he goes like this. The Kuzari, they quote in the footnote here from the Kuzari. I'll read you what the Kuzari writes about the Greeks. Lo nachalu chokhmah v'torah. They didn't have a heritage of wisdom or Torah. Mipnei shehem yevanim, because they, the Greeks, mipnei yefta shochnim batzafon, they're descendants of Yefet who lived in the north. V'chokhmah sheyusha ma'adam v'chokhmah muchzekt b'chol eloki, einena keim b'zer Hashem. Because this goes back to what we learned earlier in the Ramban, that the real heritage stayed with Shem, and the nations kept tapping into Shem to get their wisdom. Yefet traveled far away, so they didn't get it. And then what he's writing here is that when the Greeks overcame the Persians, so that's when they started developing their philosophy. Until that point, it didn't interest them.